Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Hitch up your reindeer, go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find. The kids are gonna love you so. Leave a toy for Johnny. Leave a doll for Mary.
All right, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips. Don't promoting God, family, and country, and protecting life, liberty, and property is our claim to fame. Yes, indeed, we reject revolution but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth as the new media takes center stage. This is Liberty Roundtable Live for December the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2017, hour 2 of 2. Welcome to the broadcast, James Brown. I think that dude's black from what I understand. And he's running around singing about Santa Claus and saying, hey, Santa Claus is going to go straight to the ghetto and bring, you know, toys to the girls and the boys and that everybody's going to love old Santa Claus, right? All right, well, the problem is, did you know Santa's a racist? Yeah, kid you not, Santa's a flat-out racist. We'll talk about that. But I kid you not, the headline says, Santa Claus is, quote, white supremacy symbol, say liberals. Now, I mean, this is off the charts. Kurt Crosby, welcome to Liberty Roundtable, sir. Any comment?
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Any comment about Santa Claus being a racist? Here we go again. I guess it'd be my comment. Now, Sam, I don't know if you saw it on the whole Santa thing, but according to CNN...
Does it have to do with him being a racist?
Well, it's got to do with almost something.
Well, before we get there, what if he was a black man?
Oh, good point.
You know, what if Santa was a black man, first of all? And then we'll get to your point.
Hey, you want to hear the man said to the sight? You know what I found you last night? It's when Mama turned out the light. I went in the living room to see what the noise that woke up me. And I was drawn by the Christmas tree.
All right, there you go. See, it just gets crazier by the second as they mock the symbols of Christianity, ladies and gentlemen. That's what this battle's really about. Kurt, your story now makes total sense if you think that Santa Claus is a racist black man or starting somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the related Santa news story, CNN now hypes a new kid's book about Santa's husband.
So now Santa's a black gay man racist. You got
portrays
it?
Portrays Saint Nick as gay man who marries another. And so anyway.
By the way, I'm just going to say, Mary, did you know?
Wow.
James Edwards, host of the Political Cesspool radio program. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend.
Sam, Kurt, it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be with you each and every month, but especially at Christmas time, this time, a couple of days before Christmas on December, it's especially good to be with y'all. I was thinking before you started off the segment and the way that it was started, Sam, that even on so-called conservative media, the Limbaughs, the others, you know, they will say Merry Christmas sometimes rather than Happy Holidays, and we think that that's a big victory, but none of them will really come out and say the name of Jesus Christ. And this is something that we get to do on this radio network and on all respective programs, and it's just another reason why this is the greatest network servicing better AM stations around the country, and it's such a great joy and honor to be a part of it.
And not only will I say the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to testify right now that Jesus Christ lives, the birth and subsequent resurrection of the Savior Jesus Christ is real. He lives, and he invites all of us to follow him through our own free will and choice. And if we do, we're promised rich blessings from an almighty God. There's my testimony, sir.
Hey, that's the way it's supposed to be a couple of days before Christmas, and really every day. But if you can't do it at Christmas, there's something wrong with you. And I appreciate that. But this thing, I was in such a good Christmas spirit until the absurdity of contemporary America and the contemporary West, for that matter, came crashing back down on me. You had mentioned it in Q during the break about my book, Racism and Spacism, which I wrote way back in 2010 now. And I thought the examples that we drew from to fill the book were just absolutely ridiculous. And they were. But it's gotten so much worse as our culture and demographics continue to change and the founding stock and our traditions and heroes are being pushed out. Everything's being reinterpreted now, isn't it? I mean, now you've got a homosexual Santa. Now you've got a racist Santa. I mean, and I've heard this before, that Santa Claus is racist, Santa Claus isn't white. Well, look, Jesus Christ is real. Santa Claus is Santa Claus. But
Santa Claus, at least to the Christians, Santa Claus is a symbol of how we can become like Jesus, right? Let's be clear.
No, that's absolutely true. And one of the things that the church did, and I think this is a very good tactic, was it not adopted, but incorporated some elements of traditional folkways and used them as a way to symbolize Christ. And I think that was a smart way of going about doing things, bringing new converts. It didn't water down the faith. It just adopted other practices and put a Christian spin on it. And so that has happened with Santa Claus. But that was that's obviously a European tradition. That is a European folktale. St. Nicholas, Kris Kringle, Santa Claus, that is European in nature. So, yes, I mean, he's going to be depicted as white. And, of course, now anything white is going to be racist or supremacist, so says our media overlords.
Right. Now, here's what I find fascinating. What is one of the most famous Christmas movies on the planet? Do you know?
I guess the Christmas Story.
It has the term called miracle in it.
White Christmas? Miracle on 34th.
For you to think of that first just proves you're a racist.
Yeah.
White Christmas. Right. What are you thinking? All right. Now, Miracle on 34th Street. Now, isn't there like a drunk Santa in that, Kurt?
Yes, there is.
So, you know, we got a black Santa, a gay Santa, a drunk Santa, everything Santa that, in my opinion, betrays the purpose of, the symbolism of what Santa really is. And then they have the audacity to say Santa is a symbol of white supremacy. I mean, these people are off the charts. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there you have it. But I told James on the break that I think he needs to write the next book after Racism Schmacism. By the way, if you want to get a copy of that for Christmas, thepoliticalcesspool.org, get it done today. It's a little dated, but the point's still the same, which is if you're white, you're a racist. But the next book that James needs to write is Santa Claus is a racist. And he can talk about this and say, you know, they literally are claiming that Santa Claus is white supremacy symbol. And what that means is they're really after attacking Christianity. They don't care about Sam or James, and they know we're not racist. James made that point in his first book. But now not only do they know we're not racist, but now they're really trying to take down Jesus Christ over it. That's their ultimate goal, James. And I've said this, and people have kind of went, yeah, maybe, Sam. But we're seeing more and more evidence that their real goal is to destroy Christianity. Because after Santa's a racist,
sure,
the symbol of Jesus Christ, then pretty soon Jesus will be a racist, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, why one of the reasons white people are hated as they are is because we were the people who, for such a long time, over the course of the last 2,000 years, were the predominant driving force behind Christianity, the spreading of Jesus Christ's word to the nation. And now as we're leaving and becoming more of a post-Christian society in America and across Europe, our downfall is quite predictable. But yeah, I mean, so they hate Christianity, they hate Jesus, and this is the time where that where their venom towards him and our faith, the faith of our fathers, is particularly strong, and it even trickles down now to the secular. And I know you mentioned this. I get my news from Liberty News Radio and Liberty Roundtable, just like every other good American. But occasionally, my friendship with Sam pays bigger dividends, and I get stuff delivered directly to my inbox on email. And I saw we're now, and I know you covered this on the show, but Jingle Bells is racist. And this is something coming from not some crackpot malcontent walking around the street with you know, his his personal belongings on his back. This is coming from a university professor, and normally only university professors could be this deranged, but this is it.
So yeah, and then we played Otis Redding, the King of Soul, singing delighted about dreaming of a white Christmas. He's a racist too, James.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because this has been on my mind, in recent days, I guess you could say.
Hold on, we got to take a break. I want to let you rock and roll on the other side. I don't mean to interrupt you. I just want to give you a chance to tear it up. But before we get to that, I just want to say, too, that I got late news in. They've decided that Santa has become, by choice, she's self-identified as a woman. Did you see that? All right, hang tight. Sam, Kurt, James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, riding shotgun, breaking it down for your Merry Christmas. Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Ladies and gentlemen, I kid you not, while we celebrate Christmas, they destroy every vestige, if you will, of what we hold dear. I'm telling you, it's beyond imagination. We're singing songs of faith and hope and freedom and stability and safety and unity and family, and these people are destroying everything we hold dear. But yet, we, the American people, don't believe it's important to really, you know, take back the media from these thugs. It's amazing to me. Literally, Black Christmas, a horror movie created by the pervert Harvey Weinstein and others. It was created in 74 and redone in 06. Black Christmas is a rape, incest, murder, horror movie. Literally, it's called Black Christmas. That, you know, garnered $17 million in the United States at the box office. Did you know that, folks? You don't believe me? Type in White Christmas and you're a racist. Type in Black Christmas, though, and the only thing that comes up is this horror movie. Did you know that, James?
I remember that movie came out. I regret to say I missed it, but I remember when it was coming out. And just thinking, even back in 2006 or 2007, about 10 years ago, I remember, you know, what do you expect? This is Hollywood. You had said something about Otis Redding, and I had a...
Yeah, but I expect the blacks, though, to stand up against Black Christmas and reject this perverted film.
Well, as we well listen, this was the thing. I don't remember. I was going to tie that in. So once again, Sam, we're singing the same tune. No pun intended. But there was something you said about Otis Redding. Now, what was that? Because it triggered something that I wanted to share.
Otis Redding is nicknamed the King of Soul, and by the way, he has great music, very talented. Okay, but anyway, he sung "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas" with gusto. It was an incredible soul version. And I'm just saying, if white supremacy is tied to Christmas and all that kind of stuff, what is Otis doing?
Okay, that was the point. I'm glad. There you go. So I was talking about this with Jack Ryan just this week. Jack Ryan is a duly minted contributor to my program, The Political Cesspool, does a great job for us and for the network, as it were. But we were talking just a couple of days ago about how much we like the Motown music of the 50s and 60s and how wholesome and how good that music were. Now, yes, of course, Motown was a black label, Otis Redding and so many others. And I put up a couple of examples. There was Smokey Robinson, who wrote the song Tears of a Clown. And he said for that inspiration, he used the Italian, the story of the Italian clown Pagliacci. And that was his inspiration for that song. So there you have a beautiful song, and he is drawing on an aspect of white history or white folklore to inspire him. You have this song by Jimmy Jones called Good Timing, and he talks about in 1492, what would have happened if Queen Isabella hadn't hawked her jewels in 1492? She had good timing. Well, now, of course, Columbus is a racist. How dare a black man say it was a good timing for Queen Isabella to hawk her jewels to fund Columbus? How dare Smokey Robinson draw upon the white supremacy of an Italian to inspire his song? And that goes all the way forward to now. I'm talking about this war on Christmas, war on Christ. You've got now in Alabama, just this last week, you had 96-98% of blacks vote for a candidate who can only accurately be described as a secular Satanist, a man who is for the murder of children all the way up to the ninth month of their life, and someone who's pro-homosexual. You have blacks who claim to be Christian. And the point is this. You go back not far in American history, just 50 or 60 years, and you can bring up these examples. Now, yes, you know, there were still racial differences between certain groups, but we were bound together to the extent that one can be by our faith, a shared faith, a real faith, and certainly, you know, the culture. Just these two examples. Now, those are trivial examples, to be sure, but they are examples that you wouldn't find now. You wouldn't find that now in music and in the arts, where they draw upon these examples. And the point is, the war on Christianity and the de-Christianizing of the West has put all of God's creations at odds with one another. Our country is falling, and the friction between the races has never been greater than it is right now. You say, well, no more Jim Crow, no more segregation. No, the races have never been more at odds than they are right now, but they will be tomorrow. Every day it gets a little worse, and the reason is because we've lost God.
All right, let's go back to this. Santa is a pervert. He married a man. WorldNet Daily with the details. Kurt, did you have more on that? Again, it doesn't matter what they call Santa. It's everything but a symbol of Christ. And if it's a symbol of Christ, it's racist. Everything else is fine, though, right?
Yeah, it's just one of those Christmas children's books that I would recommend against, Sam. I mean, it's just crazy, the stuff we've got to live with these days. But, hey, I guess it'll get crazier, huh?
Wow, imagine that. All right, now, there's a lady, I don't know if you know who she is. I'm just going to ask you guys if you know who she is. Her name is Kimberly Jones. Do you know who she is?
I don't think I do.
I don't.
Kimberly Jones is the mother of Keaton Jones.
Now,
yeah, do you know who Keaton Jones is?
Yeah.
I do know that.
Well, tell me the 30 second.
About this.
Give me the 30 second on this. Who is this Keaton Jones guy?
Keaton Jones is a kid from Tennessee who allegedly, and I say allegedly because I don't know what to be true or false, not that I'm trying to cast doubt or aspersion on it, but supposedly he was getting bullied at school, and his mother put up this video of him, fearing going to school for the bullying he was about to endure yet again. And somehow the media caught on to this, Hollywood caught on to this, it became a GoFundMe thing, and they ended up raising many, many thousands of dollars to support Keaton.
All right, that's the story of the guy. Now, it turns out that his mom got slaughtered for being a racist. You want to know why?
Because being a good daughter of the South as she was, and I don't know this woman, but I know what originally, so she may be good or bad, but what they began the crucifixion over was certainly good. She is a woman from the South, and in one picture somewhere on her social media portfolio, they found a Confederate flag in the background.
She then melted down, capitulated, as your book Racism Schmacism warns not to do, because they know she's not a racist, but they love to attack the flag, the symbol of history and of Christianity and of states' rights. And I mean, I go on and on, right? The reverence of the South for those who have lost their lives in a valiant cause, etc. The bottom line is that she said, well, I didn't really mean to. We just thought it would be funny. And basically, yeah, she jettisoned her history and her flag, as a lot of liberals and whites seem to do. It's tragic, but she got slaughtered. She made her personal media pages all private now. And it's a complete meltdown.
Well, and then also, Sam, well, first of all, if you haven't been through the fire, you don't know what it's like. And you don't know that it's going to end, that the media whirlwind's going to end and you're going to survive. The one thing you can do, though, the worst thing you can do is to capitulate, because they're not going to say, oh, well, we got it wrong about you. We're sorry. No, what's done is done once they start. And they're never going to go back and see you any differently. So the least you can do is hang on to your dignity and self-respect. And she gave that up and lost everything else as well. And to the best of my knowledge, all of the money they had raised via this GoFundMe page had been frozen. Now, I haven't heard an update on this in a few days, so I don't know if that status has changed. But basically, all the money that came in for this kid, basically, once you know, it was discovered that his mom had a Confederate flag, all that money got taken away.
All right. I just find this whole thing fascinating, though. We just are exploiting this racism. Ever since Barack got in office, it's been on absolute steroids to just exploit race at every turn. Now, by the way, the University of Michigan.
At the same time, you know, we talked about what this kid suffered and what his mother suffered for being pictured with a righteous flag. And I know you were talking about this on the show yesterday, and it's not new news, but Barack Obama can meet with representatives of an organization who on the streets of America advocate for the murdering of policemen. And they
get no problem.
White House. This,
now, Barack can also run around and say the N-word with impunity as well. Right? He said the N-word, and nobody blinked an eye.
All right, well, go to any NBA game and sit courtside. You'll hear it about 15 times.
And nobody cares. That's okay. And the rappers can use it. In fact, the bottom line is they can use it, but you can't. Okay?
Yeah, right.
Now, the University of Michigan is in the news. And all these whacked out things start at these universities, by the way. The University of Michigan now teaches employees how to overcome the discomfort of being white. Did you see this, James?
No.
All right. They call it the whiteness session in a breakout conference at the university. And they utilized what they call the privileged identity exploration model. Do you know about that, James? Buddy, this needs to be entered as a section in the Santa Claus is a Racist book. I'm telling you right now. University of Michigan, they literally have a whiteness session, and they have the privileged identity exploration model. We'll talk about it in seconds on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
You open the floodgates. I hope I can make it through this.
Is she allowed to say this on the radio? Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, to you from us, Liberty Roundtable Live and the Liberty News Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, what an incredible song. That's what we celebrate, our God. Let's not be afraid of it. Let's not back away from it. Let's stand tall for the things that matter the most. So you literally have this, quote, whiteness session at the University of Michigan, and it was first introduced in 2007. By this whacked out professor at the University of Iowa. And they got 8 defenses that people use to avoid recognizing that they're racist. All right, let me just tell you 2 of them. First off, you're a denier. So, you know, don't even try to tell the truth. You're just a denier. And if you're not a denier, the second one is you're a minimizer. So you're going to minimize your white privilege, your racism. If you don't deny it, outright deny it, you're going to minimize. You're going to go through all these stages of false claims that you're not a racist, see? It's kind of like, when did you quit beating your wife? You know, you're a racist, and there's just no way to live it down, James.
No, everything you do, well, we talk about this all the time. That only spurred the creation of my book, spawned the creation of my book, but also really drives a lot of our work. On the radio, anything a white person does is racism. A white person is a racist by default, and so on and so on. It never ends. The examples are ubiquitous. They get more absurd every day. Even when you think they've reached peak absurdity, we find another example that just leaves us shaking our heads. But I'll tell you this, I mean, whites are not privileged. If whites are, you know, what is privilege? You know, you say, well, you come from a situation, an environment of privilege. Well, why? Because you were born to two parents who love you, to parents who work to create a stable environment to bring you into this world. I was privileged because my grandfather started a business and worked himself into the grave, building it up, because my father worked two jobs and was able to send me to a private school. Is that privilege, or is it because I had responsible parents who believed in God and tried to give me a good life? Yeah, I was privileged, but not because I was born white, because I had a good home, and it was Christ-centered. But whites are not privileged as a group, as a race. We're not the beneficiaries of set-asides and quotas and affirmative action. We're the victims of it. We are the only race who dare not speak its name to take pride in anything that our ancestors have done, any
cultural
or technological scientific achievements. We're not allowed to say we're proud of that.
I do. I am. I will. I have. I will continue.
Well, of course, there are exceptions. But
buddy, I'm taking off the gloves with this double standard false narrative lie. I'm not tolerating it. Never have, never will. I don't do that. Okay, I love everybody. I love all of God's children, but I have every right to celebrate my heritage, and I'm not embarrassed of my skin.
Well, amen, Sam. And, of course, you're leading the way, and we've done the same. And that's why if you Google us, our name is Mud, because, you know, that's hate. And that's hate speech. You know, and it's funny. I know you had Jared Taylor on the show yesterday, a good friend of mine and of ours. And we were at the inauguration with Jared, and I've worked with Jared for many, many years. You know him. And it was a great interview yesterday. We were talking about the fact that this much publicized Twitter purge that was supposed to be coming down on December 18th. It was very haphazard and random. But three heads rolled. The three most prominent heads were Jared Taylor, Michael Hill, and Brad Griffin. All three who were speakers at the Political Cesspool's 13th anniversary conference back in October, and all three were singing at that conference the very song you opened this segment with, How Great Thou Art. Well, once again.
Yeah, I sat there and sang it with them, with full gusto, baby.
We sure did. The last time I heard a group singing of that great gospel classic, which can be a Christmas carol, too, if you want it to be.
Heard that.
Was there. And that, again, ties everything back in together that we're talking about tonight.
All right. Now, another tidbit here. It's a headline. I want Kurt to respond, then James. Did you know the trees are the racists now?
Trees?
Yeah, Kurt, did you know the trees are racist?
Oh, that's right. I saw this story.
Well, first off, you know who created the trees, don't you, my friend?
Well,
the ultimate
God
racist.
Is,
that's so, right. There you go.
Yeah, good
but really, the trees are racist. Here's how it is. Kurt, go.
Yeah, they had to, take down some trees because they were separating a group of people from, I guess, some black people from another neighborhood or
well,
something.
Well, what happened is they had a golf course in the hood.
Oh, that's right.
And they had the trees separate the black neighborhood from the golf course. Now, never mind that they're normal trees of privacy or trees of, hey, we don't want the ball to go into the neighborhood or never mind common sense reason. It was all racist. James, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I saw this headline. I did see this headline now that y'all elaborate a little bit. I saw the headline, and I couldn't even bring myself to read the story because stuff like that just raises my blood pressure. It makes me upset, and I don't like to feel that way unless it's absolutely necessary. And so I skipped the story, but once again, you get the point, right? And it's being drilled in everything. Everybody does is racist, especially white. And I mean, we've gone from a culture, a civilization, collectively that spread Christianity to the world, and now we can't even control our own streets anymore. You look at London; it's just completely, basically taken over by pagan faith, Muslim, Islam, and. Yeah, we just cower. We just cower in our homes. We cower behind computers. We will not speak up. We will not stand up. And it's going to end very badly for people who take that course. It may end badly for all of us. But if we're going to go down, I'm going to go down with a Bible in one hand, the boots on my feet, and maybe a gun in the other. if I have to protect my family.
I got a question, though.
But we're going to fight.
I got a question. If the trees separating the black neighborhood from the golf course labeled racist, I didn't know there was racist trees, but set that aside for a second. What if a couple of black guys go golfing? Is it a racist golf course then?
You know, people will think we're joking or trying to
No, I'm not joking. I'm completely serious. Look, in America, and this is the point, the land of the free, the home of the brave, we allow black people to go just like we allow white people to go golfing. And right now, you know what? If they want to go golfing, they can. That's a blessing given to all of us to have a golf course or entertainment or whatever you want. And it's afforded to everybody, right? And I'm just saying, why don't we take that viewpoint into context, James?
Well, that would make too much sense. You would think that this story about racist trees was a parody, you know, put on, something to be humorous, something from The Onion. But no. No, this was presented in establishment mainstream media as something to be very concerned about.
All right. Well, they had an event at the Indianapolis Chuck E. Cheese. Did you see this?
Oh, no.
Kurt's going to look this up. Type Chuck E. Cheese Indianapolis, and there's a video on it. Kurt's going to tell you two women are brawling.
Yeah.
And in front of the children, and the other people just kind of stand there with open mouths and don't know what to do, but the brawl ensues, and the chicks are punching each other and pulling each other's hair and getting all crazy in front of the children and such. I guess it was an alcohol-fueled event there, James.
Yeah, you don't even if you don't even need to tell the story. If Chuck E. Cheese is in the news, I can tell you what happened without ever even knowing a thing about it. You know, the Florida Festival, a few years ago, actually had a little cult following. Every time Chuck E. Cheese was in the news for minorities behaving badly at the establishment, we would report on it, and it began to take over the show because there was just so many examples of this. We couldn't get any other work done. And so we haven't really followed up on the Chuck E. Cheese carnage much lately. But people still, every time it's in the news, I'll get emails from listeners saying, hey, you going to talk about it this time? It's always there. I don't know what it is about Chuck E. Cheese that brings up the worst.
I do. They serve alcohol, James.
Well, a lot, you know, you especially wouldn't expect that at a child's entertainment center.
Well, and that see, that's the point, though. They sell alcohol with children present. Bars don't do that. But when you got children present, you get mommy thinking she's playing the mommy role, and pretty soon she's hammered, and hey.
Well, that may have something to do with it. I was reading one story about this a couple of years ago in the Tampa area. There was a Chuck E. Cheese.
Hold on. Most part your response in seconds.
Okay.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear what I hear?
Said the night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb.
One of the most glorious Christmas songs ever.
Do you see what I see?
A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite.
All right, Merry Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. So, James, as you were saying before I rudely cut you off, you were talking about Chuck E. Cheese, right?
Well, not rude at all, Sam. Commercial radio is a cruel master. We got to take breaks when the breaks come. I understand that. I appreciate you playing that song. I said it the other day on my show. That is my favorite, all-time favorite Christmas song right there, Johnny Mathis' version of Do You Hear What I Hear? But, yeah, Chuck E. Cheese, if you start Googling Chuck E. Cheese violence, brawls, mob fights, et cetera, dozens of examples, dozens and dozens. Just going back a few years, and we used to cover it regularly, but there was one particular instance at a Chuck E. Cheese location in Central Florida. It was around the Tampa area. And there was a strip club within close proximity to the Chuck E. Cheese. And, I mean, it wasn't right next door, but let's just say it was in walking distance, a few blocks away. And the story, this was a strip club, too, that had trouble with drug deals and fighting and everything you would imagine that would happen at a strip club. The police had been called to the strip club, I think, 7 times that particular year, something like that. But they had been called to the Chuck E. Cheese 12 times in the same year.
Well, there you go. And I'm just admitting to you, when you put kids in alcohol, people get very, Well, let's say this. Alcohol fuels somebody to do something they ought to not do, not being polite or patient enough, and then pretty soon people are pretty defensive of their children, and pretty soon it just goes crazy. It's like putting alcohol at a child's sporting event. You'll watch. When that happens, it gets crazy, too. And, it all comes back to fuel it. Now, got to move to another topic before the end of the hour. I don't know if you're aware of this, but did you know that Mother Nature's a terrorist?
Is that better or worse than being a racist?
Well, Mother Nature's a racist, too. She's the one that created all these races. Okay, so racist, terrorist, all the same. There's a couple of headlines and a couple of points that I want to make real quick and then get your take on it before the end of the hour. First headline, when nature is a terrorist, writes Washington Post. Second headline, Bill Gates, quote, a new kind of terrorism could wipe out 30 million people in less than a year, and we're not prepared for it, writes Business Insider. Believe it or not, Bill Gates believes climate change, nuclear war, and pandemics are the three biggest world threats. Do you want to respond to this, Kurt, and then James?
Well, I'll tell you what, yeah. You know, I mean, terrorism run amok. I'm thinking we're going to have a little terrorist activity today when we hit a little of the old snowflakes flying our way, Sam. And so I'm batting
down
the hatches.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas all about that, personally. I'm just saying, me and old Otis, we're dreaming of a white Christmas together.
That's right.
And I just don't know what to say about that. Now, I don't even think Christmas has started until Kurt Crosby delivers the cheese balls, though. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think Christmas is... James, you ain't never had one of them, have you?
A cheese ball. You know, I will eat cheese.
James
Not
doesn't eat
cucumber
vegetables or
cheese or anything.
Now, let me
like
just
that.
Let me just stop you though and say that Kurt Crosby's family makes some of the best homemade cheese ball ever. And when they drop it off, it's a glorious surprise and a welcome addition to the festivities. Is all I'm telling you. Anyway, but so Bill Gates really believes that climate change,
nuclear war, and pandemics are the three biggest world threats. Now, I don't agree with that at all. I think the world's three biggest threats are, well, I'll tell you what they are in a second. What do you say, James?
Well, nuclear war might be a threat, although we've never had one. But, I had an epiphany at some point during your commentary there. I don't want to steal your thunder. I'll go ahead and submit the biggest threat to humanity is our term for Christ. But everything is racist or terrorist except for the real racist and terrorist. We call terrorists refugees. We call the real people who are motivated to hate people based upon the color of their skin. We call them civil rights advocates or social justice advocates. It's the world turned upside down. George Orwell's 1984 didn't come close to predicting. It didn't go far enough. As close as it was to what reality has become, he stopped a little short of what we actually became.
All right, you want to take a stab at this first, Kurt?
Tell me again the thing I was supposed to
Bill
take
Gates
a stab at.
So Bill Gates says that climate change, nuclear war, and pandemics are the three biggest world threats.
Well, Bill Gates would be part of the world threat for me. You get these professional do-gooders that are going to try to fix the world, and they do it in all the wrong ways, if you ask me. But, that'd be my quick response.
I haven't got three of them, but I got two of them, and I agree with James. One is turning our backs on God. In fact, the immorality of the people, in my opinion, is one of the greatest threats. If we're good, honest followers of Christ, we're going to be blessed, and if we're not, we're going to be cursed. We're going to lose the blessing, if you will. And so I submit to you that turning our back on God is one of the biggest threats. The second biggest threat that I think of is rogue government. Okay? More people have been killed in the name of governments around the world in the history of the world than literally anything. I mean, governments are predatory. And I realize that I'm not anti-government. I celebrate the proper role of government in America today. And that's why I say rogue government is the enemy. The proper role of limited government is an appropriate stability factor. Okay, the founding fathers knew that the government had some necessity to it, value in it. Governments are instituted among men by the consent of the governed for the blessings of the governed. So there's a legitimacy to a level playing field, to stability, to, that kind of thing. In other words, you maximize liberty with the defense of government. However, rogue government and immorality in the people. What would be the third one? I can't decide if it's the education system, the Federal Reserve, or the rogue media that's the bigger threat of the three. Can you help me with that one, you guys?
No, wow. Well, they really work. That's a tough one, Sam. Oh, the media and the government certainly work in concert and in cooperation with one another.
Yeah, but they're different because we could take back the government and maybe not the media, or we could take back the media and not the government necessarily. So I agree they work hand in hand, and they're certainly agent provocateurs of each other, but they are different, right?
Then really, you'd really have to include them both on the list. That's too hard to make a cut. They're both so deserving.
Well, the only cut is the education system, the media, or what is it? The education system.
Well, if you think about it, all of that's really just an outflow of the turning away from Christ. If we were a Christian nation, that would trickle down to all of these institutions, and it would correct itself. It would be self-correcting.
Yeah, I have to agree. That's the biggest threat in my mind. And I'm concerned about nuclear war, and I'm concerned about sickness and pandemics, and I'm concerned about some of those things. But the way we make sure the weather or the climate's not a big problem is we keep the commandments of God and he'll bless us. And, if we go back to the I would say the attack on the family, I'm going to put turning our backs on God, rogue government, and the relentless attack on the family are our three biggest threats, in my humble opinion. You want to add anything to that, Kurt?
Hard to argue.
That's a great place to start, Sam. I mean, it's like, there's always a whole lot of work to be done, isn't there?
Well, and you know what? We're grateful for the opportunity to do that work. Right?
Well, that's the thing. People think that suffering
and struggling or things you try to avoid in life. But really, this suffering's relative compared to people who really suffer. People like Washington and Robert E. Lee and all of these people who really sacrificed blood and bone to give us our freedom. What we do pales in comparison to that, but it's still much more than most, and that's a sad thing. But I will tell you, suffering and struggling for a righteous cause will give your life more meaning than just about anything that you could possibly fill it with.
All right. Anything we want to end with on this? It's amazing to me what we see in our society today. And Liberty News Radio, Liberty Roundtable, the political cesspool, our whole purpose is to preserve our godly American heritage. Okay, that's what we're all about, folks.
It's not a straight up, I hate to use the word religious because that puts Christianity into a league with all of the religions. But you know, our shows aren't straight up religious talk. I mean, you've got shows like that on the Christian networks. But that is the thing more, as much as anything, more than anything, that motivates our work. And I would just say, I know y'all have got a couple of more shows before Christmas. I would just leave my part of the show today with a Merry Christmas to your wonderful audience, Sam, you and Kurt as well. I love you guys as brothers in Christ and brothers in the struggle for freedom. And remember, everybody, to read the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke on Monday.
Amen. Kurt?
Yeah, amen to that. Mm-hmm. I'm in.
Now, is that a terrorist activity, though?
Well, it is if we recommend it, yeah.
Kurt.
I think it's fantastic. I'm in. I'm going to do it. In fact, I'm going to not only do that, I'm going to read the story of the Great Nativity, and we're going to have our children dress up and play out the scenes at the same time. I'm going to quadruple down on that thing. How's that?
One step further, as he always does. I'm going to read it on the air on Saturday night. I bet you'll do the same on Friday.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live, 2 hours in the can. Some of the most hard-hitting but respectful talk radio on the planet. We do believe in this great nation. We do believe in God, family, and country. We are not negative like most news. We believe there's hope in Jesus Christ and in the fundamental unit of society, the family, and in traditional marriage and in keeping the commandments of God. We could go on forever, but we stand with traditional values. We will not betray our heritage. We will not do it. We will stand in the gap for the sacred cause of God, family, and country. Merry Christmas. Jesus Christ lives. And we declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com. Get involved and donate today.